And so as we continue our series today about talking about spiritual gifts, about unwrapping them, how appropriate that we would begin that way with the reminder that the Apostle Paul gives us right in the middle of his treatise on spiritual gifts. He says, before we go any further, we need to talk about how these are supposed to operate. We need to talk about what love looks like. Here we are today talking about spiritual gifts, talking about unwrapping these gifts. We've learned in the last few weeks that gifts are given to the church by God. They're given to those, all of those, that are in right relationship with him through Jesus. And they're meant for use in the body of Christ. They are purposed for our gatherings and our experiences as a people together. I hope that to this point I have successfully sold you on the fact that spiritual gifts are good things. That we need to not be afraid of these. We need to not be concerned. We need to not think, well, I guess that's okay if that's who you are. I hope I've sold you on the fact that spiritual gifts are the sorts of things we ought to be looking for. These are good, good things. We want them. We want these presents, don't we? We want to unwrap them. Today's question is, how are we going to get them? We've decided that this is something we want. How are we going to get them? You know, if you want to receive a gift, it's important that you know how to receive that gift. How many of you have ever gotten a card in the mail, a postcard that tells you you may have already won? And on the postcard, there's a description of a really, really nice gift. How many of us have ever gotten an email that says there's prize money waiting for you? And all you have to do to collect your prize money is send us the following information. Okay, now most of these things I hope we recognize are scams. Okay, do we all know these are scams? Please don't send your social security number by email to anybody. You know, I don't care if they are a Norwegian princess and they've been kidnapped. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Just don't do that. Sometimes, though, there are things like that that are, well, I don't know if I want to say legitimate, but they're more legitimate. How many of us have ever been invited to find out a little bit more about a timeshare, right? And what's the bait and switch? If you come on this trip, if you do this thing, you will get an all-expenses-paid vacation. For like a solid 4 to 6 hours, you will be in the finest Best Western in all of Myrtle Beach or something like that. There is a gift at the end of some of those. There is, but you have to go through quite a bit in order to get it. You don't just call the company back and say, yeah, I'll take my vacation. I think the Bahamas would be good, and I'd like to go for 2 weeks. And they say, great idea, and send you along. There's a procedure that you go through to get your present. And with these companies, a lot of times that procedure involves, well, you have to book this flight, and you have to do this, and you have to go to this place, and then you have to sit in our conference room for the next 8 hours and listen to us talk about our timeshare, and then you have to go into somebody's private office with a bare light bulb in it for 2 hours while they tell you, you must sign up for this now. And you have to argue with them. And then at the end of all of that, if you've done steps A, B, C, D, E, F, and G faithfully, if, then maybe we'll let you have your present. I'm here to tell you today, and thanks be unto God, this is not what spiritual gifts look like. You may not have already won. That's not what God says. Ed McMahon is in no way involved with the distribution of spiritual gifts. Those of you above the age of 40 will understand what I'm talking about there. This has nothing to do with timeshare vacations. This is not about jumping through God's hoops, and if we do all of this just right and catch him in a good mood, then maybe, just maybe, he'll distribute the gifts. That's not what the Bible says. As a matter of fact, I think that if we take the Bible at its word, receiving spiritual gifts is actually fairly straightforward. And that's what we want to talk about today. We want to begin by just affirming this. We receive the gifts by desiring. We receive the gifts by desiring. Again, I'm going to go back to some scriptures that we've already read two or three different times in the past couple of weeks. But each time we look at them, we're going to pull out some different things that we need to highlight and understand. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, the very first verse. We just heard 1 Corinthians chapter 13 read to us. These three things remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. And directly from that, Paul continues to talk about spiritual gifts, and he tells us in the very next verse, he says this, eagerly desire, eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit. How do I get the gifts? Well, Paul says the first step we need to take is we need to desire them. Not just to merely desire them, but to eagerly desire them. Eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit, Paul says. You know, I've noticed that kids usually don't have a problem letting you know what they desire. Children tend to excel in this particular area of life. They tend to be very good at letting us know what they desire. How many of you know about fidget spinners? All right. Fidget spinners. This is like the latest craze. I mean, somewhere somebody is become a millionaire. A fidget spinner is like a ball bearing with little arms on it. And it's just balanced just right so that you hold the ball bearing in the middle and you spin it. And it's, oh, Karen's got to look, there it is. Everybody look, there's a fidget spinner right there. Okay, parents of young people and young people yourselves, am I right? You have to have a fidget spinner. If you are under the age of 16, you must have a fidget spinner. I don't get it. I don't get it. This is the latest craze. Everybody wants a fidget spinner. Jessica has a fidget spinner. I didn't buy it for her. She found it on the playground. But she's got one. Tyler, our 7-year-old, does not have a fidget spinner because he hasn't found one on the playground. But he plays with Jessica's whenever he can. Tyler wants a fidget spinner. He very much wants a fidget spinner. The other day, we were sitting in the family room, Tyler and I, and he says to me, Dad, could I have a fidget spinner? And I told him what most parents do. I said, yeah, maybe someday. And he says, no, Dad, I want to go. They have them at Walmart. Let's go to Walmart right now. I need a fidget spinner. I want a fidget spinner. Can we go to Walmart? And I said, Tyler, we can't go to Walmart right now. I'm doing some work. I'm busy. You're playing with other things. We want to, you know, just go play. But I really want a fidget spinner. And for about 20 or 30 minutes, that little boy literally could not process any other thought other than a fidget spinner. I said, Tyler, what do you want for lunch? He said, I want a fidget spinner. Tyler, would you get out your Star Wars toys and play with them? But I just really want a fidget spinner. Tyler, whatever question you asked him for that 30-minute period or so, it doesn't matter what you asked him, the answer would have been fidget spinner. Because his mind was so focused on must have fidget spinner. Here's the deal. I'm not a terribly mean dad. I mean, I have my moments. But I'm not a terribly mean dad, and Sue's a wonderful mom. And so at some point, I'm sure Tyler will end up with his fidget spinner because parents tend to want to give their kids those things that they desire. Amen, Karen? But then they keep them in their purses so that their sons can't play with them during kids' church. Is that how that goes? Or was it Mary's? Oh, he has two. Okay. Pastor Rachel, you might need to go check on that. But this is what parenthood is like, right? We tend to want to, for the most part, of course, we want to keep our kids safe and we want to use discernment about these things. But the baseline here is we want to give our kids what they desire. And God isn't any different than that. There's a reason that we can refer to him as a heavenly father. He's no different than that. When Jesus taught about what God is like in this regard, he told us, if you then, though you are evil, and what he means by that is comparatively speaking, if you are evil, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, he probably had fidget spinners in mind, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? How much more is your heavenly Father going to pour open the floodgates of heaven and give to you the Holy Spirit? And for our purposes today, let us acknowledge that that includes the gifts of the Spirit. How much more is God going to give this to us when we earnestly seek and earnestly desire? Now, parents in the room, let's have another honest conversation here. Do we just hand things out to our children at their first whim? Do we fall over backwards to go get whatever the it thing is right now? Or sometimes does wise parenting include the scenario where we say, well, let's see how this thing pans out. Is this a flash in the pan? Is this an honest desire, or is this just the flavor of the week? Is this something that they really truly need? Is this something that they're prepared for? Is this something that my child, and this is key, I think, has the maturity to know how to use? And so maybe we slow down a little bit in those moments as parents. And we kind of see, is it fidget spinner this week and something else next week? Or are we going to develop a sense of consistency that my child earnestly desires whatever this thing is? And in my experience, I find the Heavenly Father works the same way. Again, in the teachings of Christ, he emphasizes the importance of just being earnest in our prayers, earnest in bringing our requests before God again and again and again. I don't want to paint a picture of the Heavenly Father as the parent who says, no, I don't know, you know, these kids, I know they want to talk, you know, about gifts of healing, but I don't think they really want it, so I'm going to make them struggle for a little while to see if they really have their hearts in it. That's not the picture I'm trying to paint. But I think part of wise parenting includes giving your children space to express their desires earnestly. And so I think we need to take the other end of that and affirm, never stop asking God for the privilege of ministering. Never stop asking God to pour out his Spirit upon us. Never stop asking God, never presume, well, maybe that's enough. Anybody had enough of the Holy Spirit today? Anybody sitting in here just being like, I'm good. No, that's not the way God designed us. God designed us to say, it's okay, it's more than okay. It's desirable to say, Lord, give us more. Lord, give us more. Lord, pour out heaven's gates upon us. Never stop desiring. Anybody in here feel like, well, maybe God just doesn't want us to have any more of the Holy Spirit. I mean, maybe he's kind of on Holy Spirit quota low this month, you know? He doesn't quite have enough of it. And plus, those poor churches up in the North Burbs where it's raining, they're not going to be able to play softball today, so they need more of the Holy Spirit, right? We come up with all of these crazy ideas, but I think the witness of Scripture enjoins us, never stop asking. Never stop asking. Never stop asking for the gifts, these gifts that we've read about, even the dangerous ones. Can I say that today? Even the miraculous. In fact, in the context of what Paul's saying, I told you, he said, eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit. And then he goes on to talk about prophecy and talk about tongues and to talk about the miraculous. And he says, church, this is what we need to be asking God for more of, not to be afraid of, not to say, ooh, maybe we've had enough of that. But he says, church, this is what we need to be asking God to give us more of. Eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit. Of course, desiring isn't the only thing we need to do in order to receive spiritual gifts. Paul also tells us that we receive the gifts by gathering. We receive them by desiring, but we also receive them by gathering. We've talked about this so many times, but again, in a new way, I want us to hear these words. We read them in weeks past from Romans chapter 1. As Paul writes his letter to the church in Rome, he's writing to a group of Christians telling them, I'm hoping to come visit you soon. I'm on my way. I would like to be there soon, so I'm writing this letter so it will arrive in advance of my trip to you. And early on in this letter, chapter 1, verse 10, he says, I pray that now at last, by God's will, the way may be opened for me to come to you. I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. Paul's saying the spiritual gifts will be received by the church as we gather together. Now, I want to be quick to explain what Paul's saying here. He is not saying, I carry all the spiritual gifts with me. I'm kind of God's Santa Claus when it comes to spiritual gifts. And when I show up in Rome, I'm going to have you all line up, and I'm going to say, he can have prophecy, and he can have mercy, and he can have teaching, and she can have tongues. That's not what Paul's saying at all. He's not saying he's the means by which they're distributed. But rather, he's recognizing, I want to come and gather with you. I want to be part of the gathering. Because when the people of God gather together, the Spirit of God pours his gifts into their midst. So he says, I want to be with you. Because when we get together, this is what is going to happen. I mentioned already that I was at meetings earlier this week. Pastor Jim and I traveled downstate for the annual denominational meetings. For 3 days, we were part of meetings and services, and we had a wonderful time, awesome time, together, worship and prayer and discernment and just all sorts of things going on. On Wednesday morning, we had been at these sessions for 3 days. On Wednesday morning, we had our final sessions, and we were with the with all the pastors and missionaries and different ones. They always conclude by having a drawing. They've had some prizes, and so they draw names to see who's going to get the, you know, going away prize. And they had some nice stuff. Somebody won an iPad mini. Not too shabby, if you ask me. It wasn't me. I didn't win. One of the rules, though, for the drawing is must be present to win. And there's a reason they always do it as the last session. Because we've been there 3 days, and by Wednesday, you know, some guys are hitting the road, you know, and it's not a real big deal, but they, you know, the attendance is a little light on Wednesday morning. Our missionary friend Todd and Chandra Lucas are here with us again today. They visited in service 2 weeks ago. They loved us so much they had to come back. Todd was there. Chandra was there. Am I wrong? Wednesday morning's a little light, isn't it? A little bit light. And so they have the drawing. You know, who's going to win this prize? And they pull out a name. And they'll say, Todd Lucas. And everybody's like, where's Todd? And somebody's like, he headed back home already. I'm not ratting on him. He wasn't one. He wasn't one that headed home. But, you know, they're drawing in because must be present. And so, you know, they throw that one out and they grab another name. And inevitably, every pastor in the room is like this, texting their buddy, dude, you just won an iPad. And you aren't here anymore. You know, because there's love. must be present to win. That's kind of a caveat with presence sometimes, isn't it? And the spiritual gifts are a little bit like that. Must be present to win. The fellowship of the people of God is where the gifts are distributed. And I believe that the Holy Spirit says to us more often than not, must be present to win. You need to be part of the gathering in order to receive. Now, let me be clear here. I am not talking about just coming to church. I'm not saying you have to come to church and listen to the pastor babble on for 45 minutes. And if you don't, the Holy Spirit isn't going to like you or give you any presents. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about just coming to church. I'm talking about dedicating your life to ministry. I'm talking about getting involved in the life of the body of Christ, in the lives of the congregation, being a part of what God is doing in you, plural, and through you, plural. What's going on there? Where are you actively present in the body of Christ? Not just present, but actively present. Where are you actively present in the body of Christ? I believe that's where the gifts are going to flourish. And that's what Paul is saying to the Romans. Where are you actively present? That's where the gifts are going to flourish. Can we acknowledge this? Spiritual gifts are not magical abilities. They aren't. They aren't things that we just roll out of bed and all of a sudden, I'm a brilliant evangelist. Ta-da! This is not how the gifts work. They are strengths that need to be practiced and they need to be cultivated. Do you know the first sermon I ever preached? I preached right here at HRCC. It was 1998. The first time I ever preached a sermon on a Sunday morning to a church was right here in this church in the year 1998. Some of you were here that day. I believe the Rogers were most likely here that day. Scott and Sherry were probably over in kids' church that day. They were spared, but they were over there. Who else would have been there? John Canopy would have been here that morning. Al Cardwell would have been here that morning. The Redfords would have been here. The Carlsons would have been here. The first time I ever preached a message was in 1998. Okay, the people that I just mentioned, how many of you remember what I preached about? I didn't think so. I actually had to give some thought to this, but I'm pretty sure that the first message I ever preached, the first sermon I ever preached in my life was in a series that Pastor West was preaching at the time called Get on the Ship. And he talked about fellowship and discipleship and all sorts of things that end with the word ship. I'm telling you, the anointing was strong. And as the worship leader at the time, he asked me to speak about worship. And I'm pretty sure the first message I ever preached was get on the ship, worship. Now, how many of you, given that hint, now remember what I said that morning? Crickets. Neither do I. I have no idea what I said that morning, but I know this. It was awful. It was terrible. I did a fantastically poor job. It's my first time preaching. I can remember a couple of years after that, preaching again in another church, having only preached maybe 3 or 4 times since. I can remember getting up and starting and preaching and looking at my notes, and I mean, I was cooking and just doing a great job. I had 4 preaching points, and I remember getting done with my first preaching point and then looking up and seeing the clock in the back of the room, and I had already been going 45 minutes. And we were 10 minutes late for dismissal. And I only had 1 out of 4 points. I mean, I was a really, really bad preacher. A really, really bad preacher. But here, 20 years later in my life, I can say with the confidence of the Holy Spirit, I'm marginally better. This is how spiritual gifts work. We have to operate in them. We have to practice them. We have to cultivate them. We have to use them. We have to use them. The only way to practice and to cultivate your spiritual gifts is to be actively present in the body of Christ. And church, I want to declare that I have seen this happen at HRCC over the last 5 years. I have seen us grow in our ability to disciple. I have seen us grow in our ability, our God-given ability to encourage. I have seen us develop gifts of evangelism that, I'll be honest with you, weren't there 5 years ago. I have seen us develop a spirit-led gift of hospitality, of welcoming people into our presence in a way that is flourishing different than we've known it in the past. I have seen the gifts of the Spirit come into a time of flourishing in this midst. In our midst in this time, I hope that you have as well. And yet, I go back to what we already said. I earnestly desire more. I look at some of these other things that sometimes are referred to as spiritual gifts, and I say, God, we need to grow in that area. God, give us more. Give us more opportunity. Help us to experience, to learn, to practice, to cultivate those things. But folks, we've got to do it when we're together. We've got to do it as the body of Christ. There are a lot of things that you can learn on the internet. Swimming is not one of them. Okay, you cannot learn to swim on the internet. You want to learn to swim, you need to jump into the pool. That's the only way it's going to happen for you. And the spiritual gifts are that way. We can't learn to practice and to cultivate our gifts in isolation. We receive the gifts, and we operate in them as we gather. All of this is predicated on one other thing we need to keep in mind as we seek spiritual gifts. We receive the gifts by trusting. We receive the gifts by trusting. Here's another verse that we've already read in the last couple of weeks, but I highlight it now. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 7, Paul tells us, therefore, are we ready for this? You do not lack any spiritual gift. You might remember when I read that verse to you a couple of weeks, I reminded you that the word you there is plural. We said it really needs to be written in Southern. You know, therefore, y'all don't lack any spiritual gift as y'all eagerly wait for the Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He's saying in your midst, as you have gathered, as you have come together, the word of the Lord is that you, plural, do not lack any spiritual gift. And church, we need to learn to trust. We need to learn to recognize that. Rather than telling God in our prayer time what we don't have, we need to make a habit of talking to God in our prayer time about helping us to uncover and unwrap that which He has already given to us. Do we see the difference there? See, when our lives are lived in Christ, there should never be a moment when we wonder if God has prepared us to do what He's called us to do. The Bible tells us that when our lives are submitted to Jesus and when we're sharing our lives with our brothers and sisters in Christ, we lack nothing. Together, we lack nothing. The church needs to start unwrapping. It's as plain as that. The church needs to start unwrapping because the right gift is here somewhere. The right gift is here somewhere. The problem comes when we wonder if we're equipped. Or we hope maybe we're equipped. Or worse yet, we assume that we aren't equipped. And so the word of God is, church, stir up your faith. Stir up your faith and trust in a way that you haven't trusted before. Take God at his word and recognize that he's told us the gifts are here. The gifts are present. We need to unwrap them. We need to act like we know what the truth is. Jessica had a project she was working on, a group project with some of the kids in her class. She attends public school. And just a couple of weeks ago, they had a project where they had to study different aspects of medieval times. And her little group of three or four kids, somewhat coincidentally, was assigned the topic of religion in medieval times. And so she had asked me some questions about that and was trying to get some stuff together. And she and her girlfriends put together their findings, and they had typed them together in a document that was in a shared drive that they all had access to, so it would be turned in. She tells me a day or two after the project was turned in, I said, how did it go? And she says, well, pretty good. You know, I think we've found out what we were supposed to find out. She goes, but I did make one change to the project before we turned it in. I said, you changed the project? She goes, well, yeah, they had, you know, we had finished it, and my friend so-and-so was actually the one that typed it up, but it was in the shared drive, so I opened it up and looked at it. And she said that the primary religion of medieval times in Europe was Christianity. And then she had listed what Christians believe, and she said, Christians believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Christians believe that Jesus rose again after he was crucified. And she named two or three other things that, according to this report and according to their findings, Christians believe. And Jessica, without a hint of knowing why I would find this funny, said to me, I didn't like that, so I changed it. She said, I changed it to Christians know that Jesus is the Son of God. Christians know that he rose from the dead after he was crucified. She goes, I just changed it. I didn't tell him about it. I saved it, and we turned it in that way. Hallelujah. The only one that could ever reach me was the daughter of a preacher man. But how's that for a picture of how we need to begin to live our lives? I mean, are we believers or are we knowers? Do we live like we trust? Do we take God at his word? Do we build our lives upon a foundation that says, I know, do we hear that? I know how my God works because he's told me. And he's as good as his word. I believe that God is looking for his people to live like they know that he has given the gifts. And so let's not be bashful about it. As we think about the different ways, we've already talked about, right, what's in the box. What are the gifts that God wants to demonstrate in our midst? What do these presents even look like? And we've looked at different places in the scripture that identify some of them, and we've recognized it's never really an exhaustive list, but we get a sense of the kinds of things that God, by his Spirit, wants to pour out into his people. And so we face difficult situations in life. We say, I've got some choices I need to make. I could really use some spiritual wisdom here. There's some things that I'm not sure I understand. I think we need some discernment. There's some ways in life where I don't know if I know where we ought to go. We need someone who can demonstrate decisive leadership. Or maybe we've got some great ideas, but we are having trouble getting the rubber to meet the road, putting everything together. We need somebody who can support, who can administrate. Maybe we get into a situation and we feel like I'm overcome by the accusations of the voices I hear. I wish I could be encouraged. Maybe we get into a situation where we feel like in this moment, my faith is struggling. I'm wounded. I'm beat up. And I'm not sure I have what it takes to take the next step. I wish I had more faith. Maybe we get to a situation where our bodies have succumbed to illness, and yet we believe that God has spoken his word about healing. Where is that? God, where is this healing that you've talked to me about in your word? Where is it? Maybe we've just plain old got to the point where we've said, God, I'm tired of listening to the pastor. Don't say amen too quick. Lord, I need to hear your word. God, I want your word to be spoken through my life. eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy, Paul says. And so we get to points like that. And I think the instructions from Scripture, how do we get them? God says, don't just talk about them, but believe that they're there. Believe that I have poured this out into your presence. Be faithful to the process. And see if I will not bless you exactly like I have told you I will bless you. As we conclude today, I'm going to ask you to stand and we're going to pray together. And I want to just in a couple of moments here, put into practice a few of the things that we have talked about. I want this to be a place, perhaps even this day to be a moment when we receive anew and afresh the Spirit of God, when he pours his gifts out upon the people of Hobson Road Community Church. I want this to be a place where that happens, and I don't want it because I think we're cooler than somebody else. I don't want it because I think it'd help me get a bonus at the end of the year. I want it because the Word of God tells us that we should want it. That's really all there is to it. And so we pray, and I'd ask you to pray with me in this way. Lord, we want to begin at the end of today's message. We want to begin by trusting you to be true to your word. And so I pray, Lord, that in this moment you would help us, as your word says, to stir up the faith which is within us. Lord, there are embers of faith all over this room. In every heart that calls Jesus Lord, I believe today, and I proclaim that there are burning, smoldering embers of faith. Not a single wick in this room has been extinguished because that is not how you operate. But Lord, there are burning, smoldering embers of faith. And I pray today that by the power of your Spirit, you would help us to fan those into a mighty furnace flame. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to burn brightly. I pray that you would return to our hearts and to our bellies a consuming sense of who you absolutely are. I pray, Lord, that you would teach us to wait expectantly upon your word, trusting it to be true in every sense, in every circumstance, in every situation. I pray, Lord, that you would revive us in that way today. I pray, Lord, that as your people, as we seek to find out how to get these gifts that we've talked about, Lord, that you would help us to recommit ourselves to the gathering of your people. Not merely church attendance, Lord, but God, that you would help us to be actively present in the body of Christ. That you would show us the ways that you have created us to function as a part of your body. Lord, your body, this metaphor, there is no appendix. There is no part of the body that has no purpose. But every one that you have called forth into your presence, every one upon whom you have put your spirit has a function and a purpose. This is not a spectator sport that you have called us to. And so, Lord, whether we have followed you for one day or for 80 years, we recognize that you have prepared for us in this time and in this moment a space in which we are to function and to operate and to be actively present. And so I pray, Lord, that you would stir that within us, that the church would not be a place where we go, but the church would rather be a people who we are. That the church would not be a room where we sit, but it would be a community in which we operate. I pray, Lord, that you would commit us once again to the gathering of your people, that we would be actively present. And Lord, those two things having been accomplished and being said, hear your people right now. Hear our voice. Lord, hear our prayer as we ask you to pour out anew and afresh the gifts of the Holy Spirit over this church. Lord, over our homes, over our lives, over our families, over our schools, over our businesses, over our neighborhoods. Lord, over us, I pray that you would pour open the blessing of heaven, that the gift of God would be active and would be powerful in our midst. I pray that in this community, in this people, Lord, there would be evidence of your gifts. I pray, God, that we would be a merciful people. I pray, Lord, that we would be a people who can teach the Word of God. I pray that we would be a people who disciple one another, that encourage one another. Lord, I pray that we would speak in other tongues as your Spirit gives utterance. I pray that we would speak words of prophecy as you begin to prophesy through us. I pray, Lord, that miracles of divine healing would take place in this sanctuary, because, God, that is who you have proclaimed us to be. Pour open your gifts upon us, God. Pour open your gifts upon us. Hallelujah. Church, we're just going to pause in this prayer for a moment and let the Lord respond and hear and do a work in our hearts. Pour open your gifts upon us, we ask. Hallelujah. Pour open. Father, I thank you that you have positioned us to receive, that every good and perfect gift is from God on high. I thank you, Lord, that you have created in our midst a people who are hungry for your presence. And I ask, God, that you would help us to live every day of our lives in that hunger. Father, as we move from this room into another one, we ask your blessing over our fellowship time that will follow. The space of our gathering will change in the next few minutes or so, but Lord, church is not over. Church is not over. This is your church, and we submit ourselves to you. We ask all of these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.